just sitting in here on Drive Time, 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock today on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. So much going on in our world. A lot of people want to run to represent you. They want to represent you as sheriff. They want to represent you as a congressional district, as a congressperson. They want to represent you in the state house, in the state senate. And here on AM 950, we want to talk with some of those people. I want to ask them a question that came to mind for a lot of us in the United States yesterday. A question that was brought to us by the fashion of Melania Trump, First Lady of the United States, which, by the way, as a side note, don't care for that phrase, First Lady. This like ranking women, I think we should put an end to that at all levels, first, second, third, all this kind of business, of course. But also, I think we should put an end to this idea that any of our president's spouses is somehow lifted up to some higher level. But as long as you are the president of the United States' spouse and you're going to want to travel on behalf of the president of the United States, then what you say matters. What you wear, if it has statements written on it, matters. And you might know that Melania Trump wore a jacket that some people are saying don't make a big deal out of it. And I'll grant you that in some cases, maybe one wouldn't make a big deal out of it. But in this case, I think we should, because the back of her jacket had a question on it. Do you care? The jacket says on the back, I don't care. I really don't care. Do you? I think that's a question we should all be asking ourselves. And I think what happened to us, some of us yesterday, is we were raised this question. Do we care? And what do we care about? So I think that's an important question for many of us to be asking ourselves. And my answer is yes, I do care. And I vote. And I agitate and activate and engage. So if you don't care, step out of the way, because some of us do. It's my response to the First Lady. And I think it's the question that we should be asking one another. What do you care about? How do you care? Do you care? So we're going to have some candidates on today. I'm going to start with a candidate who wants to be the sheriff in Hennepin County. I'm going to ask all the candidates the same question. They're not; these aren't setup questions or anything. I want them to know the question that's coming, and that is, Melania Trump says, I don't care. Do you? So my question is, do you care? And what do you care about? Because I think that's such an important question and matters to so many of us in so many ways. And I'll have to tell you that I really think that that the role of sheriff in Hennepin County is an important role. And Dave Hutch wants to be the sheriff in Hennepin County. Hello, Dave. Thanks for being on AM 950. I'm Doug Padgett.
Hey, sir. How are you? Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here and a big fan of your show and, of course, Native Roots. So thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you, Dave, and thanks for being had by us today. Really appreciate it. Melania Trump raised this question yesterday in the public consciousness, do you care? So I'm assuming you do care, and that's why you're running for sheriff in Hennepin County. What is it that you care about?
Man, I care a lot about, I think, you know, why I'm running is, you know, I'll save you a lot of it, but you know, as a campaign has progressed, I care about changing how we police in Hennepin County. As you know, we've had some issues with some shootings locally and nationally that have eroded the trust of the police and the sheriff's office. And you know, I come from a long line of law enforcement, from my family, my father, etc. And I care about this profession, and I care about the people we serve. And the current sheriff is more worried about his political agenda and this and that. And I have no political agenda. You know, if this works out, I hope to be sheriff for at least a term, maybe two. But other than that, I'm going to go back to serving the people in a law enforcement capacity, because that's my calling, and that's what I chose to do, and that's what I care about. And I care about a lot of stuff currently. You know, you talked about Trump. You know, do I care? You know, right now we really got to care about our friends down on the southern border, these young kids that are getting treated like, you know, subhumans. And you know, I also care about situations like Standing Rock. You know, I've learned a lot from Robert Pilot about how they're mistreated, and especially by Hennepin County, which, you know, in my opinion, Hennepin County shouldn't have been up there. It's not even our state. You know, we're here to serve the people of Hennepin County. We have our own problems here that everybody's aware of, and you know, things like that. So I care about so much stuff. I could be on the on the phone there for 4 hours.
You care deep, and it sounds like you also care deeply about these issues. Dave, for people who don't know, can you give us a quick tutorial on the role of the sheriff in Hennepin County or in any county, but specifically Hennepin County? You know, for a lot of us, all the police kind of merge together.
Most counties in the state.
Yeah, how so?
With the exception of maybe Ramsey, but Hennepin County, obviously, as you know, is made up of largely metropolitan areas. So all these cities have their own police departments, like, you know, Minneapolis, of course, Plymouth, you know, suburbs. So the role of Hennepin County, you know, give or take a little bit, but 80% of the staff is, you know, is in the jail or, you know, correctional staff or in the courts, you know, court security and transporting prisoners to and from jail to court. And then statutory, we have the Water Patrol. We have a warrant civil division. And warrants is they're supposed to. They don't in this current administration. Look for people with high, you know, violent warrants, you know, homicide warrants, theft warrants, robbery warrants. And the civil is if, you know, you're serving papers on your significant other, or something like that, where the civil service comes and they'll drop off the service, like, you know, in the TV show, they say you've been served kind of thing.
Yeah, right, okay.
Not that dramatic, but that's what they do. But, you know, a lot of the people, like, you know, that live in the suburbs in the city, and unless you go to jail or courts or unlike Minnetonka, you probably don't see the deputies. And that's one thing I'm going to change is because this budget we have, $100 million, the people of Hennepin County should be able to see their deputies and they should be able to approach us like they do their local jurisdiction police. And that's one thing I want to change. And I think, you know, I'm ready and willing for that.
So talk a little bit about what it takes to be the sheriff. I know that you have to be a law enforcement officer. So are you a police officer currently?
I am. I'm currently a sergeant. I work with the Metro Transit Police Department now, supervisor there. I've been in a small town out in Stillwater for a while. But I started my career in Hennepin County as like a security officer at the courthouse.
Okay.
And so I have, you know, the statute requirements, you have to be a licensed police officer. Living in the county you're running for, so like, I live in Bloomington, so I'm a county resident. I'm a licensed police officer. So statutorily, that's what's needed. And then, of course, you know, support. And,
yeah, what does it take? Like, what does the sheriff?
News,
Dave, hang on a second. What does the
stronghold then with a lot of money? It's not going to be easy, but our grassroots campaign is kicking strong. And
Dave, tell me this: what
like
does the sheriff
here and Robert? I can't say enough about Robert.
Dave,
and
what,
of course, Uncle Curtis, but
hey,
and
Dave,
Wendy.
Dave,
I don't want to forget her. I think people just got to get out and vote.
Can you hear me?
I mean, Dave, most people don't vote for sheriff. Like
Dave, can you hear me?
You know,
okay, Dave, are you able to hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. Let me just ask you a question. In
sure.
A minute or so, tell me what does the sheriff do that you think your position in that role would be the most influential and most important? What is it that the sheriff particularly does for people who, you know, I think I have to vote for the sheriff, but honestly, I don't really know what the sheriff does. Talk to us about what the sheriff does that you think you are specifically capable of doing.
Sure. What the sheriff does and what the sheriff should do is two different things.
Okay. What should they do? Like, what's their role?
You know, you just have to have a strong staff. So my number two, which is chief deputy or deputy chief, whichever you want to call it.
Okay.
He or she would run the day-to-day operations, you know, more the budget stuff, the payroll stuff, you know, we have people for that. But my job as sheriff, that I see it, is I'm going to community events. I'm going to community meetings. People forget that the sheriff is the last law enforcement officer that's put in place by the people, you know.
I see.
Police departments are appointed by the mayor, so it's convoluted a little bit. But if I'm elected sheriff, you'll see me a single event I can, you know, humanly possibly make it to show people that here, I'm here to serve you. I'm your sheriff. I'm here to take ideas from you. I'm here to tell you that, you know, this is why we do stuff that may not look popular on TV or YouTube, but, you know, we have a job to do and we want to be transparent and proactive, but we want to make sure people are first. That's kind of my slogan is public safety before politics. And the current sheriff is politics before public safety. So that's my big push, I guess.
Well, thanks, Dave. I really appreciate this, and thank you for running. It's, you know, it's awfully important, yeah. And I'm sure that, you know, with all you have to do in your role, it's a big step, and maybe even a big political or career risk to run against a sitting sheriff, who I agree needs to be replaced. I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's really important.
Yeah. Well, I think it's definitely a lot of work, but it's going to pay off in the end. And like you said, the political risks have been high. My personal life has been attacked a little bit. But hopefully it all works out, and hopefully we can start getting back to some people first policing and get rid of the current sheriff.
Hey Dave, I have one last question for you. We only have a minute left before the commercial break. But what would you do around immigration, particularly as sheriff? How would you approach that issue of immigration?
Well, there's laws you have to follow as a sheriff, from what ICE dictates. But there's laws that you don't, there's rules and stuff that you don't have to follow. Like my position as a sheriff, I don't care where you're from or documented, black, white, Latino, small. If you get booked into our jail for a crime, you're going to get treated like everybody else. We don't care about your immigration status. You're there because you committed a crime in Hennepin County or in the Twin Cities. As long as you make amends of what crime you committed, that's our responsibility. Our responsibility is not to turn you over to ICE or this or that. They're the federal government. They have money for that. We don't need to help them with that. My objective is to keep people who live here, visit here, work here, safe, and I'm passionate about that. And people are people, and I don't care where you're born, you're gonna get treated with respect and dignity.
Dave, I'll tell you what, that's awfully good news to a lot of people to hear from any law enforcement officer. So thanks for your candidacy, thanks for running, and good luck in the election.
Thank you, sir, very much.
All right. Hey, AM 950, Progressive Voice in Minnesota. We're talking to candidates for much of the hour, 3 to 4 and from 4 to 5. So stick around with us.
Get your vehicle's summertime service done at Rudy Luther Toyota. The last thing you need is a breakdown while on a road trip or heading to the lake. Regardless of where you've purchased your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is your number one destination for auto service and repair. Routine maintenance or a larger repair, easily schedule your appointment on their website, RudyLutherToyota.com. I trust them. They're fast, courteous, and they do the job right. Get your vehicle summer ready at Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM950 Trusts, Snap Construction, at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP, or find them online at snapconstruction.com. They have financing options available.
Standard Heating and Air Conditioning knows nobody loves summer more than us Minnesotans. We also love being smart with our money, which is why during June we're offering our AC performance tune-up for $25 off. We're also offering savings of $700 on new AC systems. It all adds up to a lot of reasons to love summer even more. Call for an appointment and spend the season in cool comfort. Some restrictions apply. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating, the comfort you deserve.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Serve 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are 4 delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed, and buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Born in the USA, I was
Minnesota. Doug Padge is sitting in today. Yeah, if you've been listening over the last couple of weeks, you probably know I'm a bit of a Bruce Springsteen fan. So that particular song fits pretty well today. There's a question we all have to ask us. If you were born in the USA, if you moved to the USA, if you've chosen to make the USA your state, your country, if you've chosen to make Minnesota your state, what does that mean for you? Who are you in this world? What do you care about? The First Lady of the United States, a phrase I'd like to see done away with, by the way. The First Lady of the United States made a big question, or raised a big question to the nation yesterday by wearing a slogan on the back of her jacket. The slogan said, "I don't really care. Do you?" And I think that's a question we should all ask ourselves. Do you care? What do you care about? My answer is yes, I care a lot. And if you don't care, maybe you shouldn't be speaking on behalf of the United States. Like, I can't imagine Hunter sitting in today. I don't know. Maybe you're the regular and I'm the one sitting in, Hunter. I don't know how this goes. Hunter's the producer here in the studio here at AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. And Hunter, I can't imagine how a First Lady of the United States, on what topic she would say, "I don't care."
Well, Trump had a response about it. He said that it didn't have to do with the detainment centers, but had to do with the fake news media was his.
Yeah.
But then I was like, well, that doesn't really make sense to what you're talking about, because you guys clearly do care a lot about that too. So
yeah.
It doesn't really connect.
Yeah, that's a great point, Hunter. When Donald Trump then tweeted that the evening last night, what she was speaking about was the fake news media she doesn't care about. Was she sending a message just to her own husband to say, "Hey, Donald, you care about that, but I don't"? Was that a message to a single audience? Let's imagine for a minute that was her suggestion. That what she was trying to say was, "I don't care about the fake news media. Do you?" Just imagine that the First Lady of the United States has bought this lie that CNN, the Washington Post, the New York Times, the LA Times, the Minneapolis Star Tribune, all of these media and news outlets, NBC, MSNBC, ABC, all of those are what Donald Trump has called the fake news. That she is suggesting, "I don't care about them." If the the president of the United States, the vice president, the first lady, any of these people were to say, "I think there is a fake news takeover of the institution of the press. The journalists are fake news and I don't care about it." That doesn't even make sense. She should care about it. If it's true that they are fake news, if it's true that they are simply running lies against the president, all of us should know about it. All of us should care about it. We should be up in arms. If that's who she was speaking to, she should have turned around on the airplane steps and said, "People, listen to me. They're lying. The whole thing is fake journalism." That should matter to her more than anything else. It's not like he suggested, you know, there's a bunch of people on Facebook writing things that aren't true. Okay, granted, we can all say, "I don't care about the people that just write stuff on Facebook I think is outrageous." Fair enough. We would all agree. Donald Trump suggested that the First Lady's critique was that the news channels is what she doesn't care about. The notion in the Constitution that we have a free press, that is not like if you're going to have a press, it should be free. It is suggesting that having press, having the media outlets, having journalists, as we would now call them, not just the press, is essential to the development of democracy. So the very suggestion that she would say, "The thing I don't care about is the fact that the major media and news and journalism outlets are fake. I don't care about that." That's more outrageous than wearing a jacket saying, "I don't care, do you?" If that's the thing she actually didn't care about, it's just so loony. The one thing to – I have no idea where this jacket came from. I heard last night that it's a jacket bought – a kind of retail $39 jacket, this sort of thing. If the jacket was made in a media as a fashion statement to say, "I don't care about fancy clothes, So I'm going to wear a $39 well-crafted jacket. And if you think I'm not stylish enough, then too bad for you. It's sort of the ripped jeans fashion statement. I could wear ripped jeans and not really care about it. If that was the thing that the jacket designer was trying to say about the jacket, well, then that's a clever statement, right? I'm willing to wear a $39 not highly fashion jacket, and I don't care what you think about it. Do you really care that I'm not wearing a fancy jacket? If that's what the jacket was about and the designer when they put it together, that's one thing. Have no idea. But that's not what Melania Trump thinks about fashion. Good grief, she's a fashion model. She actually does care about fashion. So it couldn't be that. What topic would, in generic terms, the first lady say, I don't care? I can't wrap my head around it, but I think it raises an important question. Do you care? I think we shouldn't let go of this. I think, like a dog with a bone, or for your cat people, a cat with a ball of catnip, we shouldn't let go of this thing. Let's keep asking all of our politicians, all of our candidates, all of our friends and our neighbors, the First Lady, the President of the United States, let's ask them all regularly, do you care? It's actually even a better way. I don't know what you can say on the AM 950, but do you give a and fill it in with what you think, add some punch to it? Do you give a lick? Do you care at all? Do you give a darn? Whatever language you would ask someone, do you care? Because this is really our question. My answer is, and I think we should start a whole meme on this, yes, comma, I do care, exclamation point, and I vote. November 6th, you have a chance to answer the question, do you care? Apparently, there's a group of people who don't, who just don't give a rat's tail about any of this stuff. And they're willing to just say, you know what, I don't care, doesn't really matter, I'm above it all of this kind of stuff. Now, granted, if that's your thing, step to the side, because some of us care and we actually think there's something we need to do about it. Joan from Minneapolis, you have a thought on this jacket, huh? Tell us what you're thinking about Melania Trump's jacket of choice.
Well, I was listening to Tom Hartman earlier today, and something that was brought up to further confuse this issue was that during, this would have been 1919, I'm thinking, as I recall.
It's a quality root beer brand.
The fascists in Italy were using that phrase, I don't care. And it meant to them, I don't care how much I have to go through in order to bring this to reality.
Oh, so you're suggesting that perhaps this jacket is something like, I'm willing to lay it all on the line. Like, I'm not going to be held back by my cares. And the fascist used it in that sort of way, and maybe the designers of this jacket were intending it that way. That's an interesting thought. That was
in fact, what she's trying to do is give a finger to her husband by just exposing what's going on here.
Yeah, well, that's thank you, Joan. Appreciate your call. I think one of the greatest theories in this whole thing is that she was just talking to DJT on this. She was just saying, hey, Donald J., don't really care about the things you care about. I'm going to ask politicians who want to run for office here and be your congressional representatives what they care about. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Back up.
Radio Report, and joining us is Josh Wise with the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy. Welcome. Josh,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, what's happening with the Farm Bill?
Well, after failing in May, the House passed their version of the Farm Bill yesterday by two votes, after first voting down a very hardline immigration bill that would have reduced legal immigration and then had pretty draconian measures for undocumented workers, which the Freedom Caucus in the House had demanded a vote on this bill before they would vote to pass a farm bill. So they voted that bill down and then passed the farm bill by a very narrow margin.
So what is in the U.S. House bill?
Yeah, the House bill is really bad. On the farm side, it gets rid of the Conservation Stewardship Program, which is a really good working lands program that helps farmers produce more sustainably. It also would have gutted the rural development parts of the farm bill. And then on the food side, which is what everyone's been hearing about, it would kick about a million people off of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program through implementing work requirements that are just pretty impossible to meet and create a lot of administrative red tape.
And then, so what passed in the U.S. Senate? Now, so the two have to compromise. So a bill passed in the U.S. Senate. What were the provisions in the U.S. Senate? That's a little bit better than the U.S. House, but it's still
That's right. The bill in the Senate has made it out of committee, but it hasn't passed through the full floor yet. The Senate bill basically is a continuation of a lot of the same things that were in the last farm bill, which by the standards of the House bill means it's a lot better. It still doesn't address some of the structural problems we have right now that means farmers are getting below the cost of production prices for their commodities. It doesn't really ameliorate the budding farm crisis we're having in dairy right now. And it really doesn't change the unsustainable export-driven system that we've seen, you know, just in the last week tanked the price of soy with a Trump tweet directed at China. So, but by the standard of the House bill, it's still a heck of a lot better.
Okay. And so what are the next steps for the farm bill?
Well, the next steps is that the Senate has to pass their version off of the floor and then it goes to conference committee. It's unclear whether the two sides can even come together. They're so far apart in their versions of the bill. It's very, very possible that this could get kicked down the road until after the election. Now, the current farm bill expires at the end of September, so they would have to pass a continuation of those provisions at least for a couple of months until they can put something new together if they're not able to pass the bill before then.
Well, I thank you again, Josh Wise. 500,000 Minnesotans are on the SNAP program. It's just so complex, isn't it, and crazy?
Yeah, it really is. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. And encourage people to check out Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy. We can do better.
Yeah, www.iatp.org.
Let's do better. Food Freedom Radio.
I'll do it anytime you want me to.
Standard Heating and Air Conditioning knows nobody loves summer more than us Minnesotans. We also love being smart with our money, which is why during June we're offering our AC performance tune-up for $25 off. We're also offering savings of $700 on new AC systems. It all adds up to a lot of reasons to love summer even more. Call for an appointment and spend the season in cool comfort. Some restrictions apply. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating, the comfort you deserve.
Did you miss spring cleaning? Then it's time to get your carpet Zero Res cleaned for the summer. There are lots of carpet cleaning options in the Twin Cities, but only Zero Res cleans with patented powered water, so you know you get healthy, clean carpet that's safe for your family. So schedule your carpet cleaning today and get the Zero Res Summer 3-Room Special. And this month you can still get a great deal on your air duct cleaning. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Doug Padgett sitting in with you today, 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and we're asking ourselves a question that was brought up by the First Lady's jacket yesterday. Do you care? I think we should care. I think there's a lot of things to care about. I think it's a really good question for us to ask one another. Do you care? Jamal Abdulhali is running for the 5th Congressional District, wants to be the congressperson representing a number of us, including me, Jamal. So I would be one of your constituents. So I'm really glad to talk to you. Thank you for running. Thanks for caring. And I want to ask you that question that's been raised by Melania Trump's jacket. Do you care? What do you care about and why are you running?
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me and hello to your listeners. I absolutely care about care. Care about America. I care about what's going on in the border. I care about the future of this country. And that's because, you know, my family moved here when I was 15 years old, and we had nothing to our names more than the clothes that we had in our bodies. And I was able to escape poverty because of the opportunities that was offered to me by the communities that I lived in. You know, I used to live in an NASC ward neighborhood, and I had a housing voucher. My rent was $25 a month. And I was able to pay for that with the work-study money that I earned at the University of Minnesota while pursuing an electrical engineering degree. I was able to get a good job, raise a family, and get a master's in business administration and found a robust career in the private sector. I'm talking about companies like Lockheed Martin, United Technologies, and Ingersoll Rand. And that's a very story. That's my story. That what I just told you in those sentences is only possible in America. So of course I care about it. So why am I running? Well, I'm running because I provide an alternative to the residents and my neighbors in the 5th congressional district. You know, there are a number of other people running too here, and they're good people. They mean well. But most of them are, you know, coming from a similar, if not the same, background and experience, you know, that of a career track. You know, their argument seems to be, hey, I've been in a state rep or a state senator or, city council, whatever the case may be. Therefore, Congress is the natural stepping stone. I bring in two types of experience. One from the private sector as an engineering leader with an executive leadership, and the other as a actual community organizer who spent a lot of time at the state capitol as a volunteer pushing legislation about health care, jobs, and education. And why am I pushing those? Why am I passionate about it? Why do I want to bring those advocacy into Congress? Well, that's because those things, access to those things, made my journey possible. It is the story that it is America. And that's why I care about it, and that's why I wanted to go to the Congress, and that's why I wanted to continue. I think my story is possible, and it can be reflective and replicated across the 5th Congressional District. Every kid that lives in the 5th Congressional District should be able to go to college at no tuition expense, tuition free. Okay.
Thank you, Jamal. Let me ask you. I really appreciate that. And if we can I kind of hook into that and ask you about your story part of this? A lot of us have realized that the person who's in the elected seat carries power. A lot of us have been reminded of that. We've watched our Congress people not step up and serve the country from their position, and that's become a lack of personal conviction. We've watched the President of the United States take an office and to demean it to the point that it has no value. So who is in the seat? It seems we're reminded that that's equally as important as the power of the seat itself. And I think one of the points you're making on your website, which people can find at jamalforcongress.org, and in your introduction here, is that you have a story and you as a person bring something unique to this storyline. So can I ask you a little bit more about that, especially as what's turning up in the race in the 5th District? We're going to have a number of candidates on who are running for the same seat. And you brought up the idea that your political freshness should be seen as a feature and not a bug in your offering, right? That you, as we'd say in the software world, that it's a good thing that you're new and you're fresh and you're not just taking this as a stepping stone from being a state rep or state senator and now on to Congress and kind of following your particular career path. Do you worry at all? Here's my question after that overly long introduction. Do you worry at all that the appetite for people in the 5th Congressional District and around the country is we need people who know what they're doing politically, right? We've watched Donald Trump be a total train wreck. We've watched all the people in his cabinet not know what they're doing. Their incompetence is just overwhelming and they literally don't know what they're doing. How do you respond to people who have a concern that we're in a crisis? We need people with good political skills to pull this off. How do you respond to that idea?
Absolutely. I will respond to the movement that resulted from Bernie Sanders. Why do you think Bernie Sanders is popular and has been able to create a movement and an attraction in America? Even though he's been giving the exact same speech for about 40 years, it finally starts to resonate with people, and it is very basic, okay? And that is Americans, whether it's in the 5th Congressional District or across the country, they want it to be represented by ordinary people, you know, nurses, doctors, teachers, you know, engineers, people who get up 5 in the morning, go to work, come back at 6 o'clock for their families. That's what, you know, America, you know, is about. Now, you talked about it in a political skills and yeah. getting things done. In fact, you know, I'm not new to. I have a very experience and exposure as a citizen. Okay, and how the sausage of legislation is being made. I have helped pass legislations at a state capital, working with different stakeholders, like, you know, my local state representative and state senators and other institutions. And I can tell you more about it, you know, if time permits, and specifically in some of those, you know, programs, which I will be focusing on as a congressperson. So I would say it is a legitimate question, but from my perspective, I'm not new to it. I have had the experience, and I will bring it to it to get it executed. Now, you're talking about you touched on the guy that is in a you know, at the White House right now. You know,
you don't want to say his name. Is that what that means?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
You're not as comfortable saying his name.
Oh, absolutely not.
I like that. It okay. is a good for you.
To my humanity,
I
tell you why. Okay, you know, When I graduated from engineering school, I was fortunate to get in a job at Lockheed Martin, and I helped build some of the most advanced, sophisticated, you know, aircrafts the United States has ever built, like F-30 mission computers for F-35, F-16, and F-22. I was doing my part to make sure, regardless of what your, you know, political persuasion is, but I was making sure that the men and women in uniform, when a political leader sent them to harm's way, I was making sure that they got the best equipment possible. I was doing that 8 years. And 2 days before the 2016 election, he comes to the Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport. And he says, look, Minnesota, the Somalis are mm-hmm. the problem. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me, okay? I was doing my part to make sure America stays safe. I was bringing it in a scale. I was building what's needed, the finest equipment possible, so it can stay ahead of the competition. And now, here's a guy with a megaphone platform,
yep.
okay, a megaphone platform, calling me out personally because I happen to be a member of a group. So if I'm successful, and I'm very, you know, I'm very optimistic that I will be, you know, confident, if the residents and my neighbors in the 5th Congressional District give me the opportunity to go to Congress, I will personally confront him about this. I will have the platform and the support of the people in the 5th Congressional District to confront him about comments like that. Those are, you know, overt racism that are, about in such comments like that. And I'd like to talk about more if time permits, but I would also have the, the personal story and the authenticity and the authority to actually confront him about immigration. Because immigration is not about policies. You know, it's not about politics. It is not an objective to get to an office. It is personal. So I will be very direct and forceful and pushing back on him and such issues like immigration.
Yeah, it's really great to hear, Jamal. This is Jamal Abdullahi. He's running for the 5th Congressional District seat, currently Keith Ellison's seat. And Jamal, let me ask you this. A congressional representative represents your district, and there's an awful lot of work that happens behind the scenes that's not just in Congress, where you think about and represent the needs of your constituency. The 5th Congressional District is complex. I'm guessing you've heard the question, and the question will be raised. For you as a Somali American, how confident are you, and what steps will you take to be sure that you're representing all the people groups of the 5th Congressional District from the position of being a congressman who's from the Somali community? How are you thinking about that need to represent everyone from your particular, unique, special location as a Somali American?
Absolutely. You know, I'm not running to represent this only Somali Americans. I'm certainly represented everyone in the district.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take a look at the district, you know, it's a largely urban district. Okay. However, there, you know, Minneapolis being the largest city in the district, but there are suburbans. Okay. I understand what people who live in the suburbans and, you know, raising families are going through. You know, if you take a look at it, okay, in Minneapolis, leaders in Minneapolis they would tell you, the very first thing that they will tell you is like things like public safety, okay? They will tell you about the achievement gap. And if you just drive a few miles west of that in places like Golden Valley, the leaders there, they will tell you about infrastructure. Why are they talking about infrastructure? Well, it's because they have a large corporations that are actually based in those communities. And if you look at companies like Honeywell, a heavily, you know, industrial-based business, those are putting a heavy taxation on those infrastructures like sewage systems. I understand the jobs that are, you know, that are, you know, tied to those types of businesses. I understand the career progression.
Got
that
it. Jamal, can you hang on with us over the break? Jamal, can you hang on with us over the break and come back after the segment? You know, we have to run commercials here to pay for the airtime and for the station.
Oh, I love to.
Is that possible? All right. That's Jamal Abdullahi. JamalForCongress.org while we're on the break, or tonight when you're scouring the internet, you can look him up. This is Doug Padgett. We'll be back here with Jamal after the break on AM 950, the Progressive Voice in Minnesota.
I was 8 years old and running with.
Stages Theater Company is dedicated to creating a space where diverse opinions, courageous dialogue, and community engagement is not only valued, but vital to our shared artistic and educational success. Stages Theater Company creates a welcoming home for all. For over 30 years, Stages has supported quality theater programming for children. Stages gives opportunities for youth to be on stage, backstage, in the audience, and in the classroom. Whether you come to see a show, enroll a young person in a workshop, or benefit from their outreach programs in the community, Stages brings art to life. Learn about Stages Theater by going to stagestheater.org and become part of the magic of live theater by taking your family to an amazing show or enrolling someone you love in an education program. Stages Theater Company operates out of the Hopkins Center for the Arts, located in Main Street in the heart of downtown Hopkins. For more information on Stages Theater, go to stagestheater.org. That's stagestheater.org.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio.
And I'm Karen. Join us every Saturday at 8 a.m. It's all about food, you know, Laura.
Right, the health of the planet. You know, carbon-based farming can solve the climate crisis.
Well, because community is medicine.
And it's not about one seed to rule them all anymore.
One seed rules the world.
Yeah, let's have something else. Let's, like, worry about our individual health, our community health, the health of the planet, while eating food.
Yeah, because it's all tied to food.
So listen to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m.
on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
The Twin Cities Pride Festival, the largest free pride celebration in the U.S., is coming Saturday and Sunday, June 23rd and 24th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in Loring Park with 400 exhibitor booths, 40 food vendors, 4 stages with music, drag shows, and more. On Sunday, June 24th at 9:30 a.m., lace up your shoes for the Rainbow Run 5K starting at Boom Island in Minneapolis. Entrance is just $30 in advance, and you will get free admission to the beer garden and a free beer if you're 21 or over. And bring your race number to the Pride Festival. Prizes available for the best dressed participants. Go to tcpride.org for details and to register. At 11 a.m., the Ashley Rooks GLBT Pride Parade begins with 150 floats and parade entries. Come out to the parade for music, dance, rainbow everything, and an all-out celebration. Celebrate our accomplishments towards LGBT equality and feel the love. So many events, so be sure to see the entire schedule at Pride 2018 at tcpride.org. That's tcpride.org.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist point of view. Visit our website at MinnesotaAtheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
AM 950 Progressive Voice in Minnesota, 3:50 in the afternoon on this beautiful day here in summer. The summer solstice of yesterday has now brought us summer. And it's going to be bright today, but just remember, every day is a little less sunlight. Yesterday was a summer solstice. So, you know, like, as a Daddy Downer here, just like to tell people, it's getting darker every day on the sunlight side of things. But Jamal Abdullahi is running for Congress in the 5th District and wants to bring a little sunshine to Congress. And Jamal, thanks for hanging on over the break and being back with us. I want to ask you a couple of policy questions, the ones that you list on your website. There's three that are important. So I want to ask you about each of those and why you've chose to highlight those on your website. And people can find those at jamalforcongress.org. But I also want to ask you this question about, from my own vantage point, about the military. And you'd said before the break that some of your previous work was with Lockheed Martin and some of the high-end tech work. And a lot of that was used in to benefit the military. And Congress, in a perfect world, or as the Constitution would have it, needs to be involved in the decision for the U.S. to be involved in military actions around the world. And for me personally, and I know for a lot of people, finding a way outside of military violence is what's necessary in our world, and that being the most violent nation on the planet and extending its violence around the world through its military is something that is not serving humanity, let alone our country, very well. So can you talk a bit about your thoughts on the military? And then I want to ask you about the three questions that you list on your website. How are you thinking about if you were given that ominous choice as a congressperson to have to represent your vote in an act of war or an act of military violence?
Sure. So, as I started off in this conversation, I was very fortunate to come out of college as an undergrad engineer and being able to work for a premier aerospace company. You know, Lockheed as a company, I think it does a lot of other work, but I think it's, you know, bread and butter, to your point, is a defense, contractor. Yeah. And yes, I'm absolutely opposed to war. I think we started a dumb war in places like Iraq. And I think we got it into a quagmire in places like Afghanistan, and we need to stop those, and we need to be able to, bring those troops home. Okay, that's when it comes to, you know, to that. And the other thing that we needed to do is we need to be able to revisit. I mean, we need to stop this madness of billions of dollars being flowed into a United States has spent a military, okay, in the next 100 nation combined. That's insane. Okay? Mm. And a lot of that is not some of the advanced systems that I worked on. Some of the advanced systems that I work on that are farther into the future. We need to be able to make sure that we invest those. We need to be able to make sure that we're staying, technologically, in advance. But what it is given a very bad rap, and what it is that we need to, clean up the messes, like companies like Halliburton. These are companies that are basically profiting from wars that are being, started, very, inept. What we needed to do is to reduce that federal budget that's being spent on defense, and being able to divert those dollars into education, healthcare,
beautiful.
Jobs,
thank you, Jamal.
Income inequality.
I appreciate that response, and I would just add, as a constituent, as a citizen of the planet, and all, consider the idea that we didn't just get involved in dumb wars. War itself is a dumb response to human crisis. And when you have a chance to vote, just remember that if you're going to make a war choice, or consider the idea that if you're going to make a war choice, you're making the least beneficial choice for all of humanity. Okay, I want to ask you about the three items that you list on jamalforcongress.org. You list these three, and I think it's interesting what any candidate lists on their website. You list the stature to stand up to Trump, and then a brief paragraph about that. Secondly, you list fighting for working families, and a couple of paragraphs about that. And then standing up for women. Those are the three policy and perspective and sort of stature stances that you take on your website. Can you talk a bit about why those three, as opposed to others, and why those three in relationship to each other? I think they're really interesting. I have my own thoughts about them. But can you talk a bit about why you pick the stature to stand up to Trump, fighting for working families, and standing up for women?
Absolutely. So on that very point, I mean, when I touched on it earlier about how the current guy in the White House is a affront to my humanity. Mm-hmm. And because the idea that it is America is a nation of immigrants, people coming in and being able to, make something out of themselves. That's the idea that the very diverse of our communities, okay, is what gives us our strength. And here's a guy who is literally antithetical to an exact idea. So based on my story, okay, here's an NAIA refugee kid. A lot of people took a risk in me that turned out to be an NAIA success. Okay, I think that can be, you know, that can be replicated. And we don't have to do that out of a self-preservation, you know, out of a charity, but we do have to do it as a self-preservation to continue to propel America forward.
Yeah.
Because if you take a look at it, you know, some of the Fortune 500, you know, large companies like Google, you know, American Steel, Procter & Gamble, many, many, you know, success stories were either started by an immigrant or a child of an immigrant. Okay,
beautiful.
That's what actually makes America. It's that. And if you
now, Jamal, we've only got a minute and a half left here, so I want to give you a chance to say something if you want to about the other ideas. Why working families and why standing up for women? I know it's tight. It's the dredges of being on commercial radio. But we have to hit our number.
You know,
so you got less than a minute.
Working families are the center of our campaign. Why is that? Because when my family moved here as a 15 years old, we were dirt poor. We had nothing more than the clothes that we had in ourselves. But through access to education, health care, and opportunities and investment by the communities that we lived in, I was able to make it. And I believe we can lift more families by investing more on those things. Now about the women. I'm a father of four girls. Okay, my wife and I, you know, are all born in Minneapolis. Okay, I get up middle of the night worrying about if they would have a similar opportunity that are offered to their counterpart males, okay, and certainly equal pay for equal work is a very, very essential to me, and it's not because I look at them and I see the kind of world that is waiting for them, and I wanted to make sure that they do better than I did.
Thank you, Jamal. I really appreciate it. JamalForCongress.org. You can find information about that. In the second hour, 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, I'll be talking with Patricia Torres Ray and Margaret Anderson Kelleher. Jamal is also running for Congress in the 5th Congressional District, and you can find out information from him over at his website. And you can always look forward to great interviews and access to the candidates here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Jamal, thanks so much for running for Congress. Thanks for the work that you're currently doing. Good luck to you in the election.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Okay. It's a beautiful day out there. So as you take your trip outside, bring AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, with you. And we'll talk to you here after the break.
This is Ken Hagland of Minnesota Hospice inviting you to listen to our brand new show airing on AM 950 on Saturdays from noon to 1. The Minnesota Hospice Show looks forward to discussing how we honor life and to exploring the physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional issues we experience throughout all stages of life. Learn how hospice is the new face of hope and how it's your benefit, your choice. Join us Saturdays at noon and check us out online at minnesotahospice.com.
Have you ever wondered what it was like to be an artist in the Soviet Union? I'm Vladimir von Surikov, director of the Museum of Russian Art, and I invite you to explore our exhibition Art in Conflict, running through September 1st. It juxtaposes Soviet socialist realist against nonconformist artists from the latter decades of the Cold War. This is a rare chance to see connections and conflicts inside the Soviet art world. For more information, visit tmora.org.
Join me, Tom Hartman, where smart people get their news. The Tom Hartman Program on AM 950, KTNF, St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Immigration reform, tariff threats. I'm Ann Cates. House Republicans have delayed a vote on immigration reform to next week, even though the president has told them to drop the effort until after the election. Correspondent Abby Phillip.
It seems very much that the president is throwing in the towel on this issue of immigration on the Hill, and it could be that from the very beginning, this president has never been sold on this particular strategy that's being carried out right now by House Republicans. Remember, it was just a week ago that he caused his first wave of chaos on this issue by saying that he didn't support these compromises.
The European Union is imposing trade tariffs, prompting a new threat from President Trump.
The president responding to the EU tariffs taking effect Friday, targeting American-made goods largely from states he won in 2016. He tweets, "Based on the tariffs and trade barriers long placed on the U.S. and its great companies and workers by the European Union, if these tariffs and barriers are not soon broken down and removed, we will be placing a 20% tariff on all of their cars coming into the U.S. Build them here," he concludes. Mr. Trump has been especially critical of German cars lately, with that nation's automakers only having 3 plants in the U.S., and he does not get along well with Chancellor Angela Merkel. Bob Costantini, Washington.
OPEC has agreed to a modest increase in oil production. Correspondent John Defterios.
70 to 75 keeps everyone happy, except perhaps Donald Trump. Right after the decision was made, he put out a tweet saying that, quote, hope OPEC will increase output substantially. We need to keep prices down. He's talking about gasoline prices. When they went over $4 a gallon, that's when he started to put pressure on OPEC over the last 2 months with tweets in April, tweets in May.
Saudi Arabia says the hike in oil output works out to 1 million barrels a day. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 119 points. The S&P gained 5. The Nasdaq fell by 20. I'm Ann Cates.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
It's the little things, like finding 20 bucks in the wash. Woo! Jackpot! Or knowing where to go for all the newest styles and best deals in town. Peebles, of course. And don't forget to visit us online for incredible sales, our newest markdowns on clearance, more extended sizes, and even more choices. Best of all, check out today's deals online for daily coupons and offers. Fresh styles, big savings, and fun perks every day. Peebles. Little things mean everything. Peebles is part of our Stage family. Offer exclusions apply.
O'Reilly. A rough running engine could be suffering from buildup of fuel and oil deposits, but O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Clean out engine buildup and improve fuel economy with Seafoam products. Buy two, get one free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Extend the life of your engine with Seafoam products at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When you think of a Russian souvenir, I bet that Matryoshka, the nesting doll, is the first thing that comes to mind. I'm happy to say that our exhibition of these Matryoshka dolls, which delighted thousands of families over the holidays, has been extended through August 11th. Whether you're from Moscow or Mankato, you'll be stunned by the variety, shapes, and intricate details of this massive collection. Deals on Groupon. Visit us today or online at tmora.org.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does Ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer, wine, and spirits made here in Minnesota. We are ready to guide your selections, where you can build your own 4 or 6 packs. Find us at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis or online at ambibulousmn.com.
Pride Weekend is almost here, and so is the music. Reserve your tickets now. Come out for Pride Night at Music in the Zoo featuring Xavier Rudd with special guest Emmanuel Jal on Wednesday, June 20th at 7:30 p.m. at the Wiesner Family Amphitheater in the Minnesota Zoo in Apple Valley. Reserved seats are $35 and VIP box tickets are $47.50 plus fees. Don't miss Pride in Concert on Saturday, June 23rd at 5 p.m. in Loring Park, where the main act will be Grammy Award-winning R&B pop singer Brandy, accompanied by her full band and dancers. The opening acts include Jujubee from RuPaul's Drag Race, Grammy winner Jamecia Bennett, and the Vigilantes Collective. The MC for the concert is Ricky Sebastian of Pride Radio. Tickets are $25 for ages 18 plus, and VIP tickets are $99 in advance for ages 21 plus and include free food and beverages and the chance to win meet and greet. Fireworks will follow the show at 10 p.m. Find details and tickets at tcpride.org. That's tcpride.org.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Hawes. Today, mostly sunny with a high near 80. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 62. And Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 81.
This week's EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is Victor's 1959 Cafe, offering traditional Cuban recipes in a relaxed, casual, and festive Cuban environment. Located at 3756 Grand Avenue in South Minneapolis. Find out more at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Doug Padgett sitting in today on summer day two. And the summer starts ticking away. It started yesterday with the summer solstice, and now we're on to it. And it's now the second longest day of the year, brightest day of the year. And there's some people that want to bring some brightness to our world, want to bring some sunshine. And the first lady asked a question on the back of her jacket yesterday, do you care? She said she doesn't by the script on her back of her jacket. And I think that's a really interesting question for us in this country. Do you care and what do you care about? Today we're having conversations with people that are running for the 5th Congressional District in Minnesota. It includes where I live, also Minneapolis and parts of some other suburbs. And it's an important seat to me personally, important seat for the state of Minnesota and, of course, for Congress and I think ultimately for the entire country. It's an important seat. Seat. Patricia Torres-Ray is running for that seat. Senator Ray, thank you so much for being part of this conversation today, and thank you for running for Congress. It means a lot to a lot of us that you're willing to put yourself out there and want to be our representative. So thanks for running.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to connect to your audience. I'm delighted to have this opportunity.
Yeah, I was mentioning that you would be my representative in Congress, so this is going to be a personal interview as well as a radio interview. And that question raised on the back of Melania Trump's jacket, do you care? I'm starting each candidate with this question. Do you care, and what do you care about, and why are you running?
I care very deeply. I care very deeply about the children of this country, about the children that are crossing the border. I have been working for these children. And that has been really my career and my life since I came to this country. I am an immigrant, so I share their story. And I am ready now to go to Washington to be a voice for the people that I have worked for and with during the last 30 years in this country. So I care very deeply, and I think that it is clear that the First Lady doesn't. I think she was clear on her message.
Mm-hmm. Since your website says that since 1987, you've been a Minnesotan. So, congratulations on all of that. And you've immediately jumped into politics. In 2006, becoming the first Latina woman elected to the Minnesota Senate. That's a big deal. It was a big deal in 2006. It feels like it's even a more important thing today. Can you talk a little bit about what's gotten you into politics and why you've wanted to be a representative both at the state Senate level and now at the congressional level?
So people know about my story and how my life really started in this country and the opportunities that I have been given in this country. My life has been really the true American story. I came here as an immigrant, so not being able to really speak English and having a hard time connecting, you know, during the winter in very cold days, trying to find people that could understand me and really finding the University of Minnesota, finding opportunities. But I found those opportunities, and relatively quickly, like you said, I was able to be in a position to connect with more and more people and really become a person who gained enough trust from the community and background to run for office. So I did run in 2006 as an outsider, and people really didn't know who I was when I ran. People started to talk about, oh, the first Latina running for the Senate, and she has not been in politics, and she is kind of a person who's working social services. So they learned my story, and that story really resonated with them. So I got 87% of the vote, and that was just the beginning.
87% of the vote?
For 12 years. Just an amazing opportunity for me, and just really an opportunity to work on these issues. And it was Tim Pawlenty, actually, the person who encouraged me to do that, because during the Pawlenty administration, a lot of the programs that I care deeply about were being eliminated at the state level. Pawlenty was one of the worst governors we had in the state of Minnesota, in my opinion, and I think the record is clear. Everybody knows what happened during the Pawlenty administration. And so for me today, this is kind of the next step. I think Donald Trump is who is inspiring me to take the next step and to go at the national level and to fight against the cruelty of his policies.
When you ran in 2006, you said you ran as an outsider. People didn't know. I'm sure experience was a big question. They wondered about that. They wondered about you. Now on your website, it makes it clear you're not running as someone without experience. There are two numbers listed on the scroll down of your website, 20 plus and 10 plus. That's years in public service and 10 years serving the people of the state of Minnesota in the Minnesota State Senate. So now you're running as someone who has a pedigree, somebody that has experience. You're wanting to lean into that. You want to use that as a feature of your candidacy, of being someone with deep experience is important. So I'm sure there are some people who, and I'm of this persuasion, that feels like, boy, we're in a time of deep constitutional crisis and congressional inaction, and we need some really experienced people in there. But there are others, and it seems like there's something in the spirit of the electorate that says, hey, enough of the people who've been doing this the whole time. Those who got us into this trouble are not going to get us out of this trouble. How do you speak to both of those audiences about your significant amount of experience and your deep support that comes from the systems of political structure that already exist?
I think you just really articulated precisely the moment that we are in. I think that it is important that we understand that exciting the electorate, exciting young people, exciting communities of color about the importance of being elected and turning out to vote is absolutely essential. And I think in this district, Keith Ellison has done that remarkably, and we have to continue that. I'm very committed to that. In fact, Keith Ellison and I were actually run together, and we did this together. Keith Ellison did not do this by himself. He didn't increase the vote in the 5th Congressional District on his own. We helped to do that. So we will continue that, but I think it's essential that people really talk about experience. I think the environment in Washington is incredibly toxic. Mm-hmm. We need to be able to arrive prepared to do the work, and we also need to be ready to build alliances with people who are already doing the work. I think that is essential right now in Washington, and for me, being able to join a delegation of progressives and Latinos who are already working on the agenda for immigration reform is absolutely essential. So there are about 27 Latinos, Latinas, who are working on this issue, and I am in connection with them, with the congressional delegation, as well as a nationwide coalition of about 147 state elected officials who are doing work on immigration. So those networks, I think, are essential, and I don't think we should really be caught in this time about, you know, doing politics just for, you know, for increasing voter. I understand the importance of increasing voter turnout, mm-hmm. and I understand that we do need majorities, of course, in order to be able to work on these policies. But I think that we need to take more seriously the work that needs to take place in Washington. We need to be disciplined about it, and we also need to be really prepared to go to Washington on day one, start the work. I don't think that this district or this nation can afford to send people who are going to learn, you know, while they are there, who are going to be distracted with doing other work. I think for me, my record is very clear on that. During my 12 years in the Senate, I have been very dedicated, and I have been doing my work with the community, you know, with the experts, building collaboration in order to be effective in moving forward legislation. Because ultimately, this work is about that. This work is about moving legislation on behalf of people. So that is very clear to me. That's what I'm going to Washington. This is an important job for me, and I feel that preparation, ability to bring people together, and understanding how that process works is absolutely essential today.
This is Doug Padgett. I'm talking to Patricia Torres-Ray. She's running for the 5th Congressional District here in the state of Minnesota. And I want to ask you, how do you think about policies versus the sort of sense of your story and who we are? And here's why I ask. I think we live in a time where we've seen the power of having the wrong person in certain positions. I think many of our congressional leaders have not lived up to the obligation of their oath. I think the president has caused the diminishing of the presidency in a way. And you can see the real power of the wrong person being ineffective and incompetent. the damage that that does. And when I look at your website, and I think a candidate's website says a lot of things, and when I look at yours, it doesn't lead with or even list a lot of policy positions. It describes you as the politician, as who you are and how you will connect. And I think that says something, and I think you've obviously done that on purpose. You know what you're doing, and you've put together a list of endorsements, and you've put together your pedigree and who you are. And for someone like me, I'll tell you, that works really powerfully, right? I think you and a woman and a Latina in this position is really important in the time that we live in, because I think our people matter. But if you can hang on over the break, I'll give you a chance to talk about some of the policies you think are important. But can you talk a little bit about how you as a candidate are positioning yourself versus positioning on the particular issues that so many candidates make front and center to their campaign?
Well, first, let me say that I really appreciate that you were able to see that and really understand what we're trying to do in my campaign. I am about working for people. I am about people. And what is problematic for me is when they look at the 5th Congressional District as a number. Mm. So the constant conversation in Minnesota is that the 5th has to perform, the 5th has to deliver numbers, the 5th has to get the vote out, because the 5th is going to make it or break it for majorities at the Senate, at the gubernatorial race. I am okay with that because I understand how the political work needs to be done. And I am ready to do that work. I'm ready to perform, and I'm ready to deliver the numbers that Keith Ellison delivered and more. That is clear in my campaign. But what I'm not going to do is forget about who lives in the district. For me, those are the stories that I want people to hear. We're the most diverse district in the state of Minnesota, facing significant challenges with housing. People are being priced out of their homes in the city and in suburban communities in my district. We have significant problems with access to health care. People are really worried about what's happening in the schools. So I want to talk about that. The reason I'm going to Washington
can you just
is
hang
because
on
people
for the
really
break?
Want me.
We're talking to Patricia Torres-Ray, and I'd really love to talk about this after the break. Can you hold on and come back after the commercial break?
The issues.
All right, thanks so much. We'll be back with Patricia Torres-Ray here after the break on AM 950.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
Minnesota's original appliance specialist, Warner Stellian, is excited to announce the opening of its new store, located off Broadway and 35W in Northeast Minneapolis. Now, here's what we're going to do at our new store. We're going to sell all the best brands at guaranteed unbeatable prices. Then we're going to deliver and install them right and fast. It's been a long time since a new appliance store opened in the city of Minneapolis. You can see us from the highway. We're on the east side of 35W, next to Boyer Ford. Come for a visit soon.
The Twin Cities Pride Festival, the largest free pride celebration in the U.S., is coming Saturday and Sunday, June 23rd and 24th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in Loring Park with 400 exhibitor booths, 40 food vendors, 4 stages with music, drag shows, and more. On Sunday, June 24th at 9:30 a.m., lace up your shoes for the Rainbow Run 5K starting at Boom Island in Minneapolis. Entrance is just $30 in advance, and you will get free admission to the beer garden and a free beer if you're 21 or over. And bring your race number to the Pride Festival. Prizes available for the best dressed participants. Go to tcpride.org for details and to register. At 11 a.m., the Ashley Rooks GLBT Pride Parade begins with 150 floats and parade entries. Come out to the parade for music, dance, rainbow everything, and an all-out celebration. Celebrate our accomplishments towards LGBT equality and feel the love. So many events, so be sure to see the entire schedule at Pride 2018 at tcpride.org. That's tcpride.org.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette. 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis, and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
The 4th of July holiday is the best time of year to buy new appliances. Minnesota's original appliance specialists at Warner Stellion guarantee their prices are unbeatable. That's right, we guarantee it. Not just the brands you can buy at the box stores, but also the ones you can't. That's a good reason to choose Warner Stellion. But our customers tell us the best reason is how much trust they have in our installation specialists. I bet your insurance agent agrees. Visit Warner Stellion in-store or online through July 11th for unbeatable appliance deals.
Progressive Voice of Minnesota, 4:21 in the afternoon here on this wonderful June day. On the show today, we're talking with candidates for the 5th Congressional District in the state of Minnesota. It happens to be my district, so I care a lot. I'm going to care a lot about politics, but this one's personal for me. And some great candidates are running, including our guest here, Patricia Torres-Ray, state senator. And Patricia, you're running for this seat, and on your website, there's this quote. Can I quote you to yourself? Would that be all right? You say Martin Szabo, who many of us would remember, but for those who don't, was a previous representative in the district. Martin Szabo championed infrastructure project and played a crucial role in delivering an impressive results for Congressional District 5. Keith Ellison designed one of the most impressive strategies to building powerful coalitions that will energize the Democratic Party and will achieve social change. I will do both. I love that. That's also a big challenge. So many politicians feel like they're either going to be policy wonks, they're going to get deep into the policy, they're going to care about the particular issues of what it takes to move legislation and move projects forward in a district, or they're going to be a coalition builder and they're going to represent different constituencies that are left out. And many have been bedeviled by trying to do both of those, and you're confident that you can. So can you talk a bit about that, what you bring to the to this seat that allows you to accomplish both a Szabo and an Ellison agenda?
I definitely think that we need to do both. I don't think that we can afford to choose one or the other, and this district is just really not going to allow it. So yeah. I think that my record in the Senate really speaks to both. I think that I have been able to maintain a very strong connection with a very diverse coalition of people over the years, and we do this collectively. So for me, this is a job that you cannot do by yourself. Mm-hmm. You cannot simply think about doing policy work in Washington by yourself, trying to work on this multiplicity of projects and dealing with all of these challenges without building coalitions and building support and building relationships with other congressional leaders. So to me, that's essential. And the same is true for really maintaining the connection in the district and maintaining the district energized and really ready to support the work that I do in Washington. So I think that my life story and my professional really background for the 12 years that I've worked in the Senate has that record. I believe very strongly that both need to be done in order to be successful. And you see what is happening right now in Washington. Without the pressure from the outside, things just don't get done. Mm. Politicians are really responding to this pressure that is coming from the outside, from different coalitions. We have a lot of people right now traveling to Washington. The president just reacted to the pressure that was coming out from the outside to make a decision about the border. Clearly, he doesn't care enough to make the right decision on behalf of children, but he was pressured to say something. So I think pressure is necessary in politics today, but I think it is absolutely essential that we understand that all of that pressure is really to do the work in Washington. So for me, that's essential, that I'm able to really continue the work of Martin Szabo, that we talk about what we need to do with the University of Minnesota that is underfunded today, that we really work on infrastructure projects. We have a significant challenge in terms of investing in transit and transportation. You know, we have a huge deficit. And right now in our state, as you know, the Republican majority are unwilling to invest dollars in that. We have defunded health and human services. And so for me, this is about people. It's about responding to the needs that we have today that are critical to the overwhelming majority in this state, whether they are students, whether they are people working, you know, in healthcare, education for our kids. So there's a multiplicity of issues that we need to address in order to serve the constituents of this district. And so I feel absolutely strongly that my job is to do both.
Yeah, this is Patricia Torres-Ray. She's running for the 5th Congressional District. Patricia, let me ask you that. Some people's focus as a congressperson, it's a very difficult job, can be Washington-focused and some can be constituent-focused, right? I know it's a trade-off and everyone's going to say, I will do both. They're going to do both. But one of the roles that you, I think, are going to have to play if you are the representative of the 5th Congressional District is making decisions for the as a congressperson about the presidency and, I think, ultimately about military action. So I think you're going to be faced with the question when the Congress turns into Democratic hands of the impeachment of the president for things that we know that he's done already or for things that are going to become evident through the Mueller investigation. That's going to be a historic choice that you're going to have to make. And Congress should be in the right world asked about military action, and I'm someone who thinks that our military action around the world has not been effective for humanity, for the United States, or for any other country. I don't think we just have gotten involved in dumb wars. I think war is the least best option we can take at any point, and so built into it is such flaws that our country really needs to reconsider it. You can take on either of those topics as you want. How do you think, you know, with 2 minutes left to respond, how do you think about your role as a congressperson in making decisions in Washington around action toward the presidency and action toward military action around the world?
I think it's a very problematic issue how the president has been reacting on almost every single issue right now is very problematic for our country, not just at the level of how we need to do this diplomatic connection, but how the country is being impacted in ways that people don't even see. How, you know, we are traveling right now, you know, the perception that people have of our country today has changed exponentially. So the consequences of the decisions or the pronouncements that this president is making every day, even if he doesn't follow through with the pronouncements that he makes, are very detrimental to this country. And I think that we are paying the consequences. Right now, the conversations around trade, a lot of countries are making decisions around trade that will significantly impact the future of major you know, industries in our country. Just in Colombia, you know, we're talking about coffee. It's asking me very directly, you know, about the conversations that I know of my native country, and they are preparing, you know, a conversation about what's going to happen between the relationship that we have between the U.S. and Colombia with respect to coffee trade. So those conversations are happening all over the world. So it's not just, are we going to enter in a war per se? But what is he doing what is he doing to our country right now that is having a significant negative impact on the relationships that we have in trade, that is impacting workers every day in every industry? And we have the responsibility to say enough is enough. At this point, we have to hold this president accountable for the decisions and the pronouncements that he's making every day. And they don't necessarily have to escalate to declaring war, but they are deteriorating our relationships and our ability to work as a nation of, you know,
that is Patricia Torres-Ray.
And incredible.
Thank you so much for being on the show today. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we've got to run to these hard breaks in the commercial. Patricia Torres-Ray, you can find it at patriciatorresray.com. Thank you so much and congratulations and good luck in the election.
This is Art Beat for the Week. I'm Elizabeth Horob, co-host of Connections Radio, and today I'll be interviewing artistic director Doug Schultz Carlson from Great River Shakespeare Festival in Winona, Minnesota. Thanks for being on the air with me, Doug.
Great. Well, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. Tell me about some of these shows that we can see this summer at Great River Shakespeare Festival.
Well, we have four shows, and uniquely, we run our shows in rep, which means over any two or three days, you can see all four of the productions if you come down to Winona. We're doing the regional premiere of Shakespeare in Love. We're doing A Midsummer Night's Dream, Shakespeare's comedy All's Well That Ends Well, and the David Ives comedy Venus in Fur.
That's wonderful. Now, are you involved in any of these productions?
Yeah, I am. I am directing Shakespeare in Love, and then I'm acting in Venus in Fur.
Ooh.
And I can talk a little bit about those shows if you want me to.
Yes, please. How are rehearsals going?
Oh, rehearsals are going great. And interestingly for us, the shows really have a conversation with each other. We're doing a season that is really about gender dynamics. And interestingly, it's a season we chose about 2 weeks before the whole Harvey Weinstein thing broke. So it's become an extremely relevant conversation for us right now. All's Well That Ends Well is a Shakespeare comedy. It's sometimes considered a problem play. It is about a woman who is pursuing a man who is not in love with her. And this man does some pretty despicable things. The woman does some pretty despicable things along the way. And it really is about, like, how far are we allowed to go when we're in love? And then once you've done something, once you've been put outside of the tribe, then what does it take to gain forgiveness again? How do we come back in? And we think that's really relevant in the culture that we've got right now. We're sort of in the middle of a call-out culture. And we're going to have to find the way to forgiveness, to coming back together. So we start with that. So All's Well That Ends Well. Then Shakespeare in Love, which is a regional premiere of one of the most popular plays in the country right now, is about the writing of Romeo and Juliet. So it takes place in London in 1593. William Shakespeare is struggling to write this play, and he falls in love with this woman who also wants to be an actor. At the time, women were not allowed on the stage, so she has to disguise herself as a man in order to work in the theater. So it's about a woman making her way in a man's world, but at its heart, it's also about the creation of a work of art. Shakespeare has two friends. He has Christopher Marlowe, who is another playwright who helps give him technique and things like that, but it's really when he falls in love with Viola, and the two of them together have this real emotional experience that allows him to create a great work of art.
I love that. So where can people purchase their tickets and find out more information about these shows?
Everything is on our website, which is grsf.org, so Great River Shakespeare Festival, grsf.org. All the information is there. We open the weekend of June 29th. Starting later this week, we have our Pay What You Will previews before the season starts, and then we run all the way to August 5th.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Doug, for joining me on the air. That's Arts Beat for the Week. I'm Elizabeth Horup, co-host of Connections Radio, airing live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hello, Minnesota. Norman Goldman here. Join me every weekday as I help you make sense of the issues of the day with some much-needed wit. Today on the show, yes, we've made it to another Friday, but another insane week is behind us. However, there are rumors that Donald Trump is going to be firing Rod Rosenstein. I've got my eye on Russiagate. Do join me for 3 live hours of the Norman Goldman Show every weeknight here from 5 to 8 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 62. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 81. And Sunday, chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 79.
This week's EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is Victor's 1959 Cafe, offering traditional Cuban recipes in a relaxed, casual, and festive Cuban environment. Located at 3756 Grand Avenue in South Minneapolis. Find out more at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
AM 950, progressive voice in Minnesota on summer day 2. Doug Padgett is sitting in here on Drive Time, and we're talking with congressional candidates for the 5th District in Minnesota, Keith Ellison's former seat. If you listen to AM 950 regularly, you probably know that Ellison is not running and that there's a group of people who want to run for that seat. And Margaret Anderson Kelleher is one of those. Representative Kelleher, thanks for being on today. Really appreciate it.
Well, thanks so much, Doug, for having me on the second day of summer. It's wonderful.
Yeah, you know, the sky's getting a little darker every day now, not to be the curmudgeon in the group. But some of you are trying to bring a little bit of sunshine into Congress. And I've been asking each candidate today that based on Melania Trump wearing a jacket that said, "I really don't care, do you?" That raises a really good question for us in our world. Do you care, and what do you care about? And if you're running to be a congressperson, you care. So I'm wondering, what do you care about that has gotten you into this? Mm-hmm. For some who know your past, you've been in state politics before, you've been out of it, and now you're coming back in to run for this congressional seat. What do you care about that's gotten you into this race and on this show today?
Well, thanks for asking. I think that exactly, you know, the situation that we've seen in the last week is really a microcosm of what has been going on in our country since Donald Trump has been elected. And for me, as citizen Kelleher, sitting off on the sidelines, you know, doing community work, being involved in the community, it has made me matter and matter and matter. And as I got angry and I kept thinking about what can I do as an individual to make a change, suddenly, 2 weeks ago, life changed when Congressman Ellison moved over to the Attorney General's race. And it is no secret that I enjoyed my time in the legislature. It was a tough time in the legislature when I was Speaker of the House. Tim Pawlenty was the governor. But again and again, we worked together in terms of Democrats to be able to stand up to Tim Pawlenty and often get some very big things done, like the transportation override, the $8.4 billion that went into transportation and transit here in the last 10 years. It's been kind of keeping us going in a lot of ways, not just as a pun, but literally we didn't have dedicated transit funding before that override was accomplished. Things like the renewable energy standard that we passed to combat climate change, which has worked really well for Minnesota. So those are some of the reasons, but the main reason is, you know, welling up inside of me, just like a lot of other people. And, you know, I know that not everyone will raise their hand to run for office and sign up.
Even though they should.
To me, that, even though they should.
Yeah.
It seemed like a real, you know, almost a natural thing for me to offer to people to come out of you know, a little bit of political hiatus. My battery's recharged. I'm ready to go.
So you have a particular role, having been a major player in the state politics in Minnesota in a time when the battle of the identity for the Democratic Party and imagination was in trouble. Republican president, Republican governor. And with the election of Barack Obama, I think a lot of people felt like, okay, things are better. And then in Minnesota, over the last 8 years, and really, frankly, out of the time when you were in the House, there has been this growing sense of people moving away from the Democratic Party, to the point that people in Minnesota nearly elected Donald Trump as their candidate by, I don't know, 7,000 or 10,000 votes or something. Something is not catching with the imagination of people in Minnesota in a way that some of us find quite terrifying, frankly, how this state, with its reputation and with its successes on a Democratic agenda, could have been on the verge of losing the presidential election. And many people are fearful of Tim Pawlenty's return to governor. So I'm sure you're going to be asked this question. You've thought about it a lot. You probably asked yourself this question. But for the people who were part of advocating for the imagination of what a Democratic constituency would mean in Minnesota, it feels like it's been under assault and people haven't been all that attracted to it. How do you think about that? Maybe you have a different idea about the presumption of the question, but how do you think about that particular role, not particular policies, but Democrats in Minnesota being a force making a serious argument about how this state and this country should operate itself?
It's a great question, and I think it's one we are struggling with every single day, just as you described. I think that you know, part of this is putting out a vision of the future of where we want to be and bring people to. So it's both about progress and opportunity. And I think without both of these things, a progressive vision about where we can do things working together, you know, I'm a strong supporter of making sure health care for all gets enacted at the federal level. I think it is now the only real solution for covering all people with health care and expanding access. So that's one of those things that I think is progress. It also has opportunity for all people in it. And that is one of the places that I think a lot of Minnesotans maybe don't always see themselves within the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say there's probably frustrations with even process around party politics, probably on both sides of the aisle is my guess, but you know, this is one of the things I think we need to probably do reform within the party to get there, to have more voices heard. But right now, running in this election, I want to say I want to represent all the people of the 5th District with a progressive opportunity for all vision for what it means to have Minnesota's 5th represented with a different and fresh voice. Keith Ellison has done a very good job standing up and fighting, and now he wants to move to a different role to do that. I think that this is an opportunity moment. It's about getting things done for people, to show them that we are serious about making progress, but it's also about laying out and really, you know, putting out there that progressive vision of the future.
I appreciate that answer. And I've asked each of the candidates this one, and that is, as a congressperson, you're sort of torn in two directions, representing your constituency on particular issues at home and being the representative in Washington. And it seems to me that the question of how will you behave in Washington is one that's at the center of our political situation right now, partly because I think that Congress is going to turn into Democratic control and there's going to be a question about impeaching the president of the United States. So if that were to be a case, I'm not saying you have to, but how do you think about that issue particularly? And then I think Congress has a particular role when it comes to war. And I'm somebody who's thinks there are, we didn't just get into dumb wars. War in and of itself is a dumb choice. So you're welcome to respond to either of those questions as you like. But this question about war, but specifically, what about your role as a congressperson in the opposition to the presidency if that becomes a question of impeachment? How do you think about your role at the national level being one of our 538 congresspeople?
So first of all, Doug, I think it's really important to just state that if articles of impeachment come before the U.S. House, I would be a yes vote for that because of what I see as grave oversteps by the president. And really, his whole administration, we can point to time and time again. But ultimately, if it comes down to that, it's going to be about his actions. And so if that comes before us, that is something that I say yes.
Can I give you a follow-up question? Can I give you a follow-up question to that? If there
sure.
was, not to nerd out on, you know, a hypothetical, but yeah, if there was
choice. I like the nerdy questions.
If there was a choice among Congress persons to elect Democratic leadership, would you make the impeachment of the president something that your vote for leadership would be contingent upon? In other words, use your role to say to leadership, rather than saying, if it were to come up, will you do what you can to make sure that there's only leadership elected in a democratically led House in this future world that I want to exist? Would you lobby that leadership and only a vote for a leader who would support the impeachment of the president?
Well, I think it's an important question. I think it's a little bit, it is a hypothetical in the sense
sure.
that we don't know if this is going to happen or not, but it's something that is a core value right now about making sure the president is held accountable for his actions, whether those were, you know, I have a little bit of an issue with the separation of actions before getting into office. Like, you can have really awful, terrible behavior or break the law before you get into office somehow, but while you're in office, then we're going to be somehow in a different world. I think that these things need to be seamless in some way.
Sure.
So this president has shown time and time again, whether as a private citizen or now as president of the United States, a disregard for the norms and the laws and the Constitution at times. And
yeah.
that's what the standard should be.
Yeah.
So yes, would I have that conversation? I most certainly would have that conversation as an incoming first-term member of the U.S. House. I wanted to point out that I'm the one person in this race that has some experience with this.
Okay.
When Governor Pawlenty said he was going to unallot the state budget before we were done negotiating the state budget, I led the effort to talk with partners who had standing in a lawsuit that they then filed to sue, and I urged the House, and we did this. We joined as an amicus brief to the state Supreme Court where Governor Pawlenty was found in violation of the unallotment law. Mm-hmm. That is a separation of powers issue. I fundamentally understand that you are elected to both represent people, but you're also elected to a separate branch of government than the president. Mm-hmm. Even if the president were my own party, if the president were violating the separation of powers, you mentioned the War Act, that is something that is very important to be standing up for the legislative power that is granted to us in the Constitution. Mm. This is one of the things that has, you know, stirred up in me the need to come into this race. We need to put, I think, power and teeth back into Congress. The Constitution actually grants Congress a number of these actions, but they haven't been used.
We're talking to Margaret Anderson Kelleher. She's running for the congressional seat in the 5th District in the great state of Minnesota. Margaret, thank you for your candidacy. Thanks for being on. Thanks for being candid with us here today. And really good luck in the election.
Thank you so much.
Hey, AM 950, you've been talking to the people wanting to represent you from Minnesota. And we'll be back here in a break with Bethany, who's doing some really great work in her own right. So stick with us here on AM 950, Progressive Voice in Minnesota.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 on Monday mornings at 7:30. This Monday, I'll talk about what makes for an idealist. I'll also share about getting hired for my first real job where I could finally be my true idealistic self. I've got a vision of a better world where everyone has a place at the table. Ellie 2.0, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Our weekly Native American talk radio show will discuss national and local Native American news and events. Local and national guests will help us keep current with Mother Earth, tribal, and Twin City issues. Native American issues are human issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Listen Saturdays at 2 p.m.
I am awake.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Every week we bring you insights on home financing, discussing rates, programs, local and national news.
Whether you're buying your first home or your 100th home, we have tips and inside information to save you money and feel like a mortgage master.
Check us out for more information and email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is having their annual service special. Every stove, insert, and fireplace needs maintenance. Get it done now and save $40. You'll be ready to fire up before the cold weather hits again. From 94, take the Riverside Avenue exit and go to 2901 East Franklin Avenue. See the Twin Cities' most diverse selection of clean-burning, reliable, and environmentally smart stoves and fireplaces.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak, owner of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Have you ever watched your dog or cat curl up in front of a fire like a Norman Rockwell painting brought to life? It's primordial the way fire touches both the animal and the human. We have the equipment and the know-how to supply, install, and maintain stoves and fireplaces. Call us at 612-338-6606 and take advantage of our spring cleaning and maintenance special. We are online at woodlandstoves.com. The mission and the passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
A paper from my old man sit on his lap, that big old Buick steers we drove through town.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, just before 5 o'clock, 4:50 here on the second day of summer. I've been talking with political candidates who want to represent you in Congress, who want to represent you as your sheriff. Over the last 2 hours. And now we're going to talk with Bethany Bradley. Bethany is a friend of mine and an organizer, and she's organizing at this grassroots level. It's really important to a lot of us that we answer the question that Melania Trump raised with her jacket yesterday. Do you care? She said she didn't. Not sure what she was talking about, but she didn't care. But I know that Bethany cares, and she's trying to bring some people together, especially around families being torn apart. So, Bethany, thank you so much for your good work. Thanks for being willing to be on and chat with me today.
Thanks, Doug.
Hey, friend. Tell people what you're doing. You're bringing together people into community conversations. Like, this is classic community organizing activity. Why does this matter to you? I know you're not a professional community organizer. You're someone getting along in your life and doing the best that you can, and you're choosing to take your time and energy to organize people into important conversations. Tell us about those conversations, where they're happening in Minneapolis, how people can be involved, and why it is that you're doing this, even more importantly. What is it that you care about that drives you to this?
You know, for me, especially over the last year and a half, I've chosen to get more involved in grassroots efforts and raise my own personal awareness to what's going on in the country as well as the history of our country. So specifically over these last 2 weeks with the children being separated from their parents at the borders, I started to see so many people on social media who I haven't heard be political before say, you know, this is not my America or that doesn't happen here. And for me, what it really hit was this is our America. This has always been our America. We have a deep history of systemic racism, and that's what we've been founded on, especially with regard to our immigration policies. And so I took a step back and I took a deep look at what I was doing and who I was working with and speaking with, and I realized that I was staying in my comfort circle, so the people who are already aware and already activated. But what good is my privilege and my voice if I'm not raising awareness in others and asking them to be part of this fight and this movement work as well. So this weekend I invited a bunch of people within my circle, primarily white community members of privilege, to come together tomorrow afternoon and have a conversation. So really look at the history of the U.S. and how we got to the situation we're in, and then asking them to say, like, this is what's happened in the past, but it doesn't have to be our future. And how can we work together and organize together to change that? And so that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be looking at what's happened in the past and then educating ourselves on what's happening now and where we can use that privilege. So financial donations to organizations like RACES and the Florence Immigrant Project, showing up to protests and volunteering with organizations like MIRAC and Navigate MN. And then I'm actually going to be asking them to raise awareness in their own circles and step into the discomfort of these conversations, because I think fear is what holds a lot of people back from getting involved in the first place. Fear of what people will think of them, fear that they'll say the wrong thing. But what's important is that we use these big feelings we're having to actually start a conversation and draw people in and ask them to be part of this progressive, positive change.
And that's the thing I wanted to ask you about. As someone who's new, you've been vitalized and turned on to political activism by the Trump administration. One of the things that I first saw you doing, and maybe you were doing other things before, but what became evident to me was organizing the Women's March after the election of Donald Trump, that something struck you and got into you and you said, I need to do something about this. So you're new-ish to this kind of activism.
Yeah.
And for people who find that scary, right? Because they don't want to talk to their uncle about it. They don't want to talk to their aunt about it. They don't want to talk to their sister, brother, family members, or people at work. Like, they want to be careful and they don't know what to say. They don't know how they would say it. You're trying to create these places of conversation where people can overcome some of those fears, is what it seems to me that you're doing. Can you say a little bit about your own movement and how you've become comfortable being, and maybe temperamentally, you're just like, I don't know, I'm fine. I'll talk to people about whatever I think. But you're really thoughtful of those for whom that doesn't come so naturally.
Yeah, and I would say it didn't come naturally for me. It's been a year and a half of working on this where I realized that my silence is right? So if I have a voice, which not everyone does, not everyone can speak up, you know, people who are undocumented here can't always be raising their voice because they have families and they have people. And it's a scary time right now. those of us who have the convenience of, like, not having to worry about those things need to use our voices. And so I've experienced so many missteps along the way, and I've been lucky enough to have people say, hey, no, we don't say it that way, or that's not the way we do things. But I think as long as we're entering this space with humility and a desire to grow, as well as the desire to center what is happening to others rather than our own feelings, right? So if you say something wrong or someone comes at you, stop and think about, like, these children are in cages crying at night because they don't have their parents, right?
so it's worse for them than it is for us.
I might feel dumb for one moment, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm helping someone who's in a horrible place.
Well, Bethany, if people want to be part of this conversation with you, is it an open one? Do they have to get an invitation? How could they join you for the conversations that you're hosting?
Yeah, you know, we're doing this small community meeting tomorrow, but I would love for people to just reach out. They can find me on Facebook or Instagram, Bethany Bradley. And I'd love to also help, like, set up these conversations in your circle. So that's my hope, is that we start with our small groups and then go and drive that and drive these conversations. Because when we can activate our small circles, that's going to turn into big circles. It's kind of that ripple effect.
Well, Bethany, I'm really proud of you. I think it's really great. There's a lot of people who feel like, I'm not a politician, I can't do anything about it. And then they'll even say, I'm not a community organizer, I can't do anything about it. Like, there's so many barriers that exist inside of our own thoughts of ourselves about why we can't do it. And I think what you're doing is just really emblematic of the fact that people can start to organize those in their own lives without being labeled as some sort of an activist beyond their own friendship group. And I think that that's really powerful. So thanks for what you're doing. And again, you can find Bethany on Facebook. You can find her on Twitter. We'll put a little link to her on the AM 950 Facebook page. You can find it over there. Or if you follow any of this through my stream on Facebook, Doug Padgett on Facebook, you can find it there too. Bethany, congratulations and thanks for the good work you do. And I hope the conversation really goes well.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. You know, we try to give you access not only to politicians, but we want to help you find other people in your area. We'd like to see AM 950 as a community hub for engagement and for activism. So, you know, the hosts and the guests that are here, they're really at your service, serving what you want to do in the world, how you want to be active and engaging. And we're in the heat of summer now. Summer is here, and there's a lot to do. Fall is coming. November 6th is on the horizon, and we know you're alive out there, and we know there's some good things that are coming. So we know you care. Tell people what you care about. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Enjoy your weekend.